From Ken Burns' documentary on the Civil War, we've been listening to the Battle Cry of Freedom, music that might have been heard by the original inhabitants of the Whedon House in downtown Huntsville. Today, our guest in the WLRH studio is Beth Hamilton, the director of the Whedon House, here to tell us all about Alabama's oldest house museum and the special activities going on there in February. Welcome, Beth.
Thank you for having me, Dory.
We've both spoken about the fact that we love the Whedon House. I visited the Whedon House maybe a week after I moved to Huntsville in 1981, and I've just been fascinated by it ever since. And I know that Beth has a special place in her heart for it. And so tell us, you have all the knowledge of the Whedon House. Tell us about the Whedon House. What is it like? What does it look like? Why is it a museum?
Well, the Whedon House was built in 1819, the same year as Alabama became a state. And actually, John Hunt founded Huntsville in 1805. So it shows you how quickly they were able to industrialize by 1819 to build this beautiful mansion. It was built by a gentleman named Henry Bradford, who was from around Nashville and made his fortune by owning a mercantile on the square. Now, the house is Federal-style architecture after English architect, furniture designer, and interior designer Robert Adam. It has clean lines that draw your eye to architectural details. There's a magnificent fanlight over the door, and as guests enter the door, they will see a trio of curves in the fanlight, in the beautiful original cantilevered staircase, and in a curved wall against the back of the foyer.
Oh, they're little touches that mimic each other that run all through, and it's just so beautiful there.
Absolutely. The architecture of the fanlight and the side lights and fluted columns on either side of the front door are repeated in the architecture and millwork throughout the house. They're actually carved into the mantles and on some of the other moldings through the home.
Well, you know, this is why it's so fascinating to visit the Whedon House with one of the docents, or maybe if we came by and you were there, that, you know, you see these things and you take them all in as just beautiful details, but you can actually point out little things that the public may miss that were so carefully thought out by the architect and the builders.
Absolutely. They were all handmade.
Oh.
And most of everything inside, all of the woodwork, is original to the house. So it's a lovely little jewel box, I think, filled with lots of hidden antique treasures.
Okay, so are the furnishings that are inside the house now, are they brought from different sources, or are they from, is there anything there from the original owner of the house that you know of?
Well, actually, during the Civil War, everything was destroyed as far as the furnishings inside the house. However, we do have period Empire antiques. Our board president, Randy Roper, is an interior designer and has done a lovely job with creating period accurate furnishings and colors in the house. So they are Empire antiques. The colors are all Federal colors. The window treatments are all true to the period. Mm-hmm. We have one piece of furniture that did belong to Maria Howard Whedon. It's her secretary upstairs. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, and she acquired that after the war because all of the furnishings were destroyed during the war.
That sounds like just a beautiful house, and I mean, I don't have to say it sounds like it. I've seen it. I know people will want to come see it. Let's listen to a little music, and then we'll come back and talk about some of the people who have lived in the Whedon House over the years. I'm joined here today by Whedon House Director Beth Hamilton, who's talking to us about the historic home in downtown Huntsville that's been a museum for years and years. I believe since 1981 it was opened to the public.
Correct.
As a museum, and we've been talking about its architectural style and history. Why don't you tell us some, Beth, about some of the more prominent people who have lived in the Whedon House over the years?
Yes, well, Henry Bradford completed the house in 1819, but there was an economic panic and recession in Huntsville. So he packed everything up, mortgaged the house, and moved to Arkansas. There were several prominent families who lived in the home. General and Mrs. Bartley Lowe lived in the home while their home, The Grove, was being built. And legend has it took 17 years to build their home.
Oh, my.
U.S. Supreme Court Justice John McKinley, who is one of the three Supreme Court justices from the state of Alabama, lived in the Whedon House for a short time as well.
What years would that have been?
That would have been in the 1820s to 30s, and several other people lived in it then. Dr. William Whedon purchased the house in 1845.
Okay, but I understand that it was not even completed when he purchased it.
There were some additions to it as well. The house is built as a complete, well, it's three levels, the bottom of which is a root cellar. The main floor has three rooms, and the upstairs floor has three rooms. So it's actually only six rooms in the home.
But it seems so spacious.
It does.
It looks like a big house from the outside, and it seems very spacious inside, from the welcoming front hallway to the big rooms off each side.
It is. Yeah. The ceilings are 12 feet 6 inches high on the ground floor and 11 feet 1 inch high above, built to get that hot southern air up and out of the house.
Okay. If we visited today in the summertime, is it air-conditioned currently?
Yes, it is. It's heated and air-conditioned. That has been done historically accurate, so you don't see where that comes through, but it's very, very comfortable. Mm. We have events, lots of weddings throughout the summer and autumn, and it's always very comfortable.
Oh, I'll bet. I've been to lots of weddings and events there, and it's just the most gracious place to hold a special occasion. If you're just joining us, this is Morning Blend on 89.3 in Huntsville, and I'm talking today with our guest Beth Hamilton about the historic Whedon House here in downtown Huntsville, which was built 200 years ago this year. Well, let's talk about the person that the house is named for, Howard Whedon, a fascinating person. Why don't you tell us a little about Howard Whedon, Beth?
Yes. Well, Dr. William Whedon was Maria Howard Whedon's father. He was a Virginian, and he was a cotton farmer and a medical doctor. He came to Alabama. He caught Alabama fever and came to Alabama and had several plantations throughout the state. There's several were in Marengo County. The closest one in Huntsville to the Whedon House is where Redstone Arsenal now is. He was a widower. He had four children by his first marriage, and he met Mrs. Whedon. She was a widow from around Savannah, Georgia. She was in Huntsville visiting family and did not have any children. They married and had six more children together. All 10 survived to adulthood, which was very unusual.
Amazing for that time, yes.
So Dr. Whedon bought the house, the Whedon House, in 1845. It was their townhouse while school was in session. When the younger children became school age, he bought the home. They worshipped at First Presbyterian Church, which is directly across the street from the Whedon House. It was close to the square and close to the schools. Well, in the autumn of 1845, Dr. Whedon went to New Orleans to sell his cotton crop and caught a fever and passed away. Maria Howard Whedon was born in July of 1846 in the Whedon House. She was the youngest of the 10 children.
The youngest, okay.
Yes, she died in the house in 1905 and spent her entire life there, except for when the home was requisitioned by Union officers during the war.
Did she stay there while the house was requisitioned?
No. When the war broke out, she was a teenager, and the quartermaster came in and told Mrs. Whedon that Howard and her older sister Kate and Mrs. Whedon could live with the slaves in the slave quarter. So in the night, they took the slaves and went down to Tuskegee, Alabama, and lived with one of Howard's older half-sisters on her plantation while the home was requisitioned.
Oh, okay. Well, what did they find life like when they returned to Huntsville after the war?
Well, when they returned, the house was still there, but it was totally ransacked. They had nothing left. And what Mrs. Whedon decided to do is the children who were married were each deeded a portion of one of the plantations to farm. Mm-hmm. Howard and Kate were single, so they were deeded the Whedon House, okay. The house on Gates and Green. So Howard knew she was going to have to do something to try to support the family. She had always loved to draw and paint, and when they were living in Tuskegee, she took some art classes at the Tuskegee Female Methodist College. So she started painting things that people who lived in Huntsville and still had money might want to buy.
Oh, okay. And I understand that she was a wonderful artist, but she had a little bit of a challenge because of her eyesight.
Yes, she was extremely nearsighted. And she worked in all forms of medium, but really loved to paint with watercolors. Her eyesight was so poor that she would get so close to the watercolor paper that her nose would almost be touching, and she would use a brush with 1 to 3 horse hairs. So this fine, detailed brushwork makes her paintings look almost like photographs.
Oh, my. For anyone who's ever seen her drawings or paintings, they just have a glow to them.
Yes.
And they're so finely rendered, so realistic. They're just wonderful.
Yes, they are. Howard supported the family and lived hand to mouth most of her life. But when she was at the Tuskegee Female Methodist College, she befriended the family of the president of the college. And he had a little girl named Elizabeth. His name was Mr. Price, and he had a little girl, Elizabeth Price, who was 16 years younger than Howard. But they formed a friendship and were always very close. Well, in 1893, Elizabeth had grown up, and she invited Howard to go with her to the World's Fair in Chicago. And when they got there, Howard was very disturbed by the way African Americans were portrayed in the posters for the minstrel shows and in some of the other illustrations for manuscripts that were written about slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So she came back home to Huntsville, and she started painting the freed slaves who lived in Huntsville after the war. She had known them her entire life. They were her friends, and she would invite them to come over and sit for her to paint them.
I have a quote here from Joel Chandler Harris, the creator of Uncle Remus.
Yes.
Some of us might remember from our childhoods. And he declared, speaking of Howard Whedon and her portraits and her poetry, he said, "What has been attempted by many hands wielding the pen is here carried to completion by a woman hand wielding the brush." So she really brought a humanity to these free African Americans living among us and really spread that out to the country, I guess, through her portraits.
Absolutely. Howard realized that a lot of these individuals had come from Africa and had been slaves in other states before Alabama became a state, and they were beginning to pass on. She wanted to preserve the way they looked. In fact, she's credited as being one of the first artists to paint African Americans true to life following the war,
mm-hmm.
but also the way they sounded. So she would invite them to come over and sit with her, and they would visit just mm-hmm. like anybody would with their friends. So after they left, she would write a poem in their native dialect. Now, the poems are very rhythmic and rhyming and sing-songy. They're never bitter. But she gave voice to what they had experienced during slavery.
I read that the New York Times called her first book, which was called Shadows on the Wall, they called it The Revelation of a Race. This was a side of African Americans that many people had never seen. They had just seen the caricatures, or
Absolutely.
Maybe they had never been exposed to just the everyday life of these people that lived and worked among them.
Yes, they're incredible. The way she could capture their emotions and their personalities. Some of the paintings are so detailed that you can see tears in their eyes, you can see individual eyelashes, and you can see veins in their foreheads.
Oh,
they
my.
Are very tiny. And so just seeing them, you can see the patience and the love and the tenderness that she felt for these friends that she had.
Do you have a poem by her that you would like to read?
I do.
Okay.
One of my favorite poems from Howard is a poem called Important News. And it accompanies an illustration. It's a drawing that she did of two elderly African-American gentlemen that would meet almost every day on the corner of Gates and Green, right there on the corner of the Whedon House.
Mm-hmm.
And one day she wrote this poem about them, and it has a little hidden meaning. And a lot of people don't get it, but I want you to listen and see if you can guess what the meaning is. And it's
okay.
called Important News, and it's in the dialect, and it starts like this. "I heard that you was gwine back to old Virginia again, and I would like to send some news to my old friends and kin. Just look up my old daddy, please, and my old mammy, too, and says to them, I said to you, I sought my howdy-do. And if you see some fine white folk with blood that's navy blue, why, says to them, I said to you, I sought my howdy-do. And please find Brother Washington. Why, he married me and Lou, and says to him, I said to you, I sought my howdy-do. And if that Lou herself should still be knocking round there, too, why, you can allow, I said to you, I sought my howdy-do. So do you catch something in that, a sad meaning?
I do. Maybe when they were sold into slavery, they were taken from their families whom they had never communicated with again.
Absolutely.
But they still had hope that someday they would.
Yes. The two gentlemen are elderly, and one of them was going back to Virginia. And they had both been sold to Alabama from a plantation in Virginia. And one of the gentlemen had never seen his parents or family again.
Oh.
Now, he's not bitter. Mm-hmm. The fine white folk with blood that's navy blue were the blue-blooded plantation owners, and he wants them to go and see how they're doing. But what's so sad is he had been married to a woman named Lou.
Mm-hmm.
And African-American marriages were not binding in slavery, so he had been sold away from Lou. Brother Washington was the minister who had performed the ceremony, his friend, and he had never seen any of his friends or family again. And he is desperate to see if his friend can find out about him and say hello. And it's very moving to me. A little story, I had a precious couple come to view about a year ago to see about having their wedding at the Whedon House. And upstairs is where the bridal party gets dressed.
Mm-hmm.
So we were walking through, and I was just kind of showing them where they would be getting dressed. And the young bride saw the poem, and she read it, and she got it. And I started to cry because all three of us realized in that time period that so easily could have happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting married next summer, and she told me, she said, I really want my family and friends to read the poetry and see the beautiful portraits and see the dignity and the love that Howard gave to them decades ahead of so much that happened in the civil rights movement.
Oh, that is so touching. Of course, if people are interested in reading this book of Maria Howard Whedon called Shadows on the Wall, I think they're, you know, you can easily find access to that. But if they came to the Whedon House, are there many portraits that Howard Whedon painted hanging in there?
Oh, absolutely. We have all different types of her work hanging throughout the museum, and we are getting ready for our Bicentennial Art Show, which will be February 1st to March 7th of this year. We are borrowing from private collectors and other museums, and they will be on display during the time period. Every Wednesday in February from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you can remember that as Whedon Wednesdays, there will be free complimentary tours that individuals can come and tour the museum and see the art that we have permanently in our collection and the poetry that goes with it, but also the ones we have borrowed. Other tours will be given on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Admission is $5 for adults and $3 for children 12 and under. And unfortunately, we're not set up to take credit or debit card, so it would need to be cash.
Okay, good information to know. And I mentioned I had been to the Whedon House when it opened many years ago in 1981. I just happened to take my mom there. She was in town for the weekend visiting, or maybe it was a weekday, I don't know. But we went in, and there was Dr. Francis Roberts, the person who was so instrumental in getting the house opened as a museum. And we spent the afternoon there listening to her talk about the history of Huntsville and Howard Whedon, her poetry and her art, and it just opened up a lifelong passion in me for the history of Huntsville and also for this beautiful home and its famous author that lived there, and a lifelong friendship during her lifetime of Dr. Frances Robertson. I remember what an impact that visit had on me when I just saw this home and the artwork, and I hope people that haven't been there yet will go and experience this for themselves. Tell me who you said your favorite visitors are. When they
My
come.
Favorite part of the job, I wear many hats at the Whedon House, but Earthscope, who is Huntsville City School founded or supported, has field trips every spring and fall for Huntsville City School children ages K through 5. And my favorite part of the job is in March, April, and May, I have anywhere from 60 to 150 third graders who come through the museum at least once or twice a week. I taught for 10 minutes, and then they do a history hunt through the house, similar to a scavenger hunt. And if they don't scream and run and play with the antiques, they get cookies and lemonade with me on the back porch. And it is my favorite part of the job. They are so smart and sweet. And I've had brides come back years later and remembered coming to the Whedon House as on a school field trip and what an impact it made for them to remember with Huntsville history, and they want to get married there.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, you gave us the hours and the days, all of the events happening. Is there somewhere people can look online to find this information written down? And, of course, I think we have it on our community calendar here at WLRH. But what is the information that people can seek out to find out about the Whedon House?
Well, our website is WhedonHouseMuseum.com. Our Facebook page is the Whedon House Museum and Garden. You can find it there. It's also a bicentennial endorsed event, so it is on the website Alabama 200. It's on the Huntsville-Madison County Convention and Visitors Bureau website, and then also travel websites throughout the state. They can email me at thewhedonhouse@att.net or call me at area code 256-536-7718, and we would love to have them. We do have some special events that will be taking place, private events, while the art exhibit is going on, but I will post on our Facebook page and the website and on our phone message if tours will not be offered a certain day.
Okay, so before coming by, people might just want to check that out. This being the bicentennial year of Huntsville, I believe the New York Times said this was one of the 52 places to visit in 2019, Huntsville, Alabama, just for events like this. And I know you'll have a lot of extra visitors because of that, but I think everybody in Huntsville should attend as well.
Absolutely.
Learn about our history.
It's a big year for the state. It's our 200th anniversary at the Whedon House Museum. And then also this July, it's the 50th anniversary of the lunar landing. So there are wonderful things going on throughout the city and the county. Julian Butler and Sally Walker have worked tirelessly on Huntsville's bicentennial celebrations, and I am very excited for what all is going on in our city throughout the year.
It's going to be a big year here in Huntsville. It's already starting. And Beth Hamilton, thank you so much for taking time to come by and talk with us about this. And if you came in the middle of this interview and wanted to hear the beginning, you can go to our website at WLRH.org. This interview will be posted in a couple of hours or so, and you can listen to the interview in its entirety. Well, we'll go out here with a little more music from Ken Burns' documentary series, The Civil War, and listen to Ashokan Farewell.